If ever there was an example of landowners and government agencies taking a negative situation and turning it into a positive, a decades-long effort to restore the health of the Poplar River that flows into Lake Superior is it. Tom Ryder is the co-owner of Lutzen Mountains and president of the Poplar River Management Board. He says the restoration of the Poplar River was important for a variety of factors.
There were two elements. Certainly it was in part a business decision. North Shore visitors come for the pristine natural beauty, you know, but there was also a large personal motivation. We all moved here because we love the land, because it's a special and unique place. And we felt an obligation to protect it. There was a sense that we held the land in trust for future generations to enjoy and wanted to make sure we didn't screw it up on our watch.
The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency announced on October 11th that the Poplar River was being removed from its impaired waters list for reasons of sedimentation, more commonly referred to as cloudy water. Karen Evans from the MPCA said the Poplar had been the victim of land eroding into the otherwise clear North Shore River, especially in the area of the Lutzen Ski Hill.
We have a sensitive site. We had some older development that occurred. We had some older roads, you know, that were developed back in the 30s. We had some development of a ski resort there that started, I think, maybe around the 60s or something like that. Some of those things all kind of contribute to some destabilization on the landscape.
Technically, the river remains listed as impaired for high mercury levels found in fish in the Poplar, as are numerous other Cook County and North Shore waterways. Most of that mercury comes from other places and falls into rivers as rain or snow, Evans says. Meanwhile, the collaborative effort that led to the delisting for sedimentation is unique in its own right. Evans points out the significant efforts from local landowners near the Poplar, including Tom Ryder and others from Lutzen Mountains, Scott Harrison from Lutzen Resort, as well as the numerous government agencies and the Poplar River Management Board.
I think in terms of the uniqueness of it, probably for the Northeast, it's one of the best examples probably so far of a group of people coming together and then having a positive outcome.
And now that the delisting is official, Evans says it's time to start highlighting all the hard work from so many individuals and organizations.
To be proud about it, to celebrate it. I believe it's the first conventional pollutant that's been declared delisted or removed from, you know, that impairment category for the Northeast. So, you know, that's quite an achievement. And I can recall when we started this work, you know, people were asking, well, how long will it take? And can we even achieve it? Is it achievable? Are we going to pick the right management practices? You know, there were quite a few unknowns then. And so to have come as far as we've come and to have the consistency of effort, there's a lot there to really applaud people for.
I visited the Poplar River on a recent sunny morning in late October. Accompanying me were Elena Hansel and Phil Larson from the Cook County Soil and Water Conservation District staff. Together we observed some of the restoration projects along the Poplar, which are both extensive and in certain locations ongoing, as Larson points out.
So in our region, the stream types should be shaped kind of trapezoidal, so they should be flat on the bottom with maybe a slope on each side of 30% or something like that. And so that's what we were going for here in our reshaping of the channel. Instead, what was here before was more of a U-shaped channel. The stream had downcut and created a U-shaped channel, kind of like a capital U. And the stream would have kept eroding at those sides of the U until it had created a floodplain where it could spread out and slow down during flood events. So that's what we've done for it faster right now, thereby saving all the sediment that would have come out of the sides of the stream gradually over many, many years.
Hansel, who is the district manager for Cook County Soil and Water, acknowledges that it's indeed great the Poplar River has been delisted for sedimentation, but that the work on the watershed will continue.
You know, the watershed is kind of like your body, where you've got to just keep taking care of it, keep it healthy. You know, when we've done other projects like the Reservation River, we're hoping that, you know, sometimes things you need to come back and do a little maintenance. Again, it's like your body. You have to do a little bit of maintenance, keep her going. So, you know, we'll come back, we'll check on projects as we do with a lot of our projects, just make sure things are functioning and maybe it'll need a little TLC. But we're hoping, you know, it can get to the point with good land stewards here and good things happening that it'll, we won't have to come back and do these big projects.
The MPCA updates the impaired waters list every 2 years and reports to the federal government on progress being made cleaning up the state's waterways. These are typically things like mercury contamination, excess phosphorus and nitrogen, fish habitat, and sedimentation. The list is now quite lengthy and now totals 5,101 impairments on 2,669 waterways, with some lakes and rivers listed as impaired for more than one reason. On the good news side of things, in addition to the Poplar River, 24 other rivers and lakes are now considered cleaner and have been delisted for at least some of their impairments. And the work on the river, while certainly beneficial, did not always come easy, Larson says.
Some of the challenges we faced in this project were you have engineered plans and you're maybe working with contractors that are used to building buildings and they're going by the plans, but this is a more natural system. It's not to the level of scrutiny that the plan says, so it's a little more flexible with how you're implementing the work. So that's important just to kind of change gears in the contractors' minds, have contractors that really understand it and grasp the purpose and the need, and just train them in and have someone that's excited to do it. And not being too rigid with the plans or understanding there's some in the field, lots of in the field fits and changes that I would say have to happen.
In order to reach the overall goal of delistment from the impaired waters list, Ansel says the extensive work was essential.
I mean, this is a whole system. It's a whole watershed. So throwing a Band-Aid on here and there isn't going to do anything. You've got to work all together so that it works right. Otherwise, you're just, hey, here's a Band-Aid here, and then you rip it off, and you've got more scarring and more issues later on. So it's a more economic, you know, if you have to look at that. It's funding-wise, it's better to do the whole thing at once than just keep putting Band-Aids on. And environmentally, that's the best thing you can do.
With regard to the delisting, Evans and the Pollution Control Agency say the work does not help just the Poplar, but what many consider the greatest of the Great Lakes.
Doing this work doesn't just help the Poplar, it helps Lake Superior. And to me, that's another important piece of all of this, is everything that's flowing through these rivers is eventually ending up in Lake Superior, and that's something that we all treasure. So that's what's good for the rivers is good for the lake as well.
The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the north shore of Lake Superior. Support for this series comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. And for more information, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.